Welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. My name is Thomas Majors, and I'm joined by David Haynes.
Hey, Thomas, how you doing, buddy?
Good. David, we still got Marty here with us.
We have Marty. Marty, welcome back to Recording Studio.
Thanks, man. Good to be back.
We had such a good conversation with you last time, and we're glad we can pick up right where we left
Absolutely.
Off.
The last question David asked Marty was this.
So, you know, Marty, Thomas and I both agree, and all three of us here today agree, that there is a ministry to the music and the ministry of worship. So if you could explain to our listeners, how did you feel called to that ministry?
Marty responded by saying that music could be used for good or bad.
I've always loved music, obviously, and drawn to music. And music is one of those things that music is powerful. And it can be used for some of the greatest outcomes that we could imagine, or it can produce some terrible outcomes.
Marty began to argue that music just for the purpose of emotions is not the goal.
I'm thankful that God allows me to be a part of something like that. But at the same time, if it's just the music, you know, I can be moved like we just talked about by watching Star Wars and hearing that dun, 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 you know, that moves you.
And now we're picking up right where we left off.
But it's just emotions. It's got to be more than just emotions. And I think for the first time when I really realized the difference, went on a mission trip to Belize with Daryl Hatfield at Gaston. It was my first time to go down there. And so I had learned some Spanish to try to fit in down there and try to be able to communicate some. And so when I got down there, I was going to lead worship. And so I talked to Pastor Marcus. Brother Thomas has been with us down there. And his wife, Helen, sings in the church. And so I asked her, I said, what songs do you like to sing? I said, ¿Qué canciones te gusta? What songs do you like to sing? And she said, no llamamos canciones. We don't call them canciones. She said, llamamos alabanzas. She said, we call them praises. And it hit me. I'm like, they don't even call it songs. Mm. Like, we're not singing songs. We're singing praises. We're singing alabanzas, praises. So we can get up and sing a song, but if that's all it is, then it's just emotions.
Right.
But when we call them praises, and when we use them for the purpose of what they are meant for, which is to worship. Of course, the word worship is a word that means to show what something is worth.
Right.
Through music, we are showing and we are expressing through God's gift of music, through His own gift, what God's worth is to us. And to me, that's the difference between a song and an alabanza, a praise, you know? Mm-hmm. Something it's not just music.
Man, I agree. And I've never had those dots connected the way you just connected them in my mind before. That's really good.
That's kind of frightening too, isn't it? If we're showing God's worth through our praises.
Right. How much sometimes does it look like we really think He's worth?
Oh, would He be offended? Would I be offended if I knew that if I was receiving in some way, would I be offended? Probably. I wonder if God's offended by our worship.
Would our wife be offended if we said, I love you?
Or
with a scowl. Or we moaned it, I love you. Or if we, from the bottom of our heart, I love you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We express it.
And what I just thought of is in the process of preaching a sermon, that should be our praise to the Lord through the exegesis of that passage. And man, that is interesting. Yeah, I do think that I've offended the Lord quite often with my worship.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah,
we absolutely all have. Yeah. And disappointed him more than offended sometimes, you know?
Oh, yeah. You're right. Disappointed.
I mean,
disappointed.
That's a good word.
That is. He deserves better.
Absolutely. You know?
He deserves better.
It is discouraging sometimes when you look out and somebody's like, I can't sing, so I don't sing. I'm like, God doesn't care. Mm-hmm. God's not listening for a vocal tone, you know? Yeah. He's not listening for perfect pitch.
Yeah. Hey, Marty, so the other day, we're going through the study of Revelation mm-hmm. chapter by chapter on Wednesday nights at First Baptist Church, and we talked about, took just a moment to talk about singing, and I asked the people for a show of hands, in heaven, how many of you think that in heaven we will have perfect pitch? And I think the majority of the hands went up. Mine did not. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we're going to have perfect pitch in heaven. I almost think that we're not, because it'll glorify the Lord in spite of that.
Right.
But what's your opinion?
Will we have perfect pitch?
I hope so. I really hope so.
Somebody with a musical ear, he hopes so. Oh, that's funny.
I've been praying for some of those people. Yeah, perfect pitch.
No. All right. So, Jay, did you finish? Do you think we'll have perfect pitch in heaven? You hope so.
I hope so. I hope so.
Vernon McGee, in a commentary that I read a number of years ago, said that he thinks pastors in mm-hmm. heaven will have an opportunity to lead Bible studies that former church members could attend. In heaven, if that's the case for pastors, I think worship pastors might have the opportunity to have a combined choir of everyone you've ever served with and allow that combined choir to lead a worship service in heaven. What would it be like to be able to have every singer that you've served with as a worship leader and have them pitch perfect and you to be able to lead a 3-hour worship service in heaven? Would that be cool or what?
That would be cool. But you know, I don't know. I don't know that I'm going to be even thinking about leading worship when I'm in heaven, to be honest.
You should be thinking about worshiping.
I'm going to be thinking about worshiping. Right. I no longer am I a worship leader. You know, even on earth, I'm the worship leader, but I'm a worshiper first and foremost.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, worship leader is the lead worshiper, you know?
Yeah.
And also, we'll talk about this with two pastors, I'm not the lead worshiper. You guys are, you know, because you are the pastor, the senior pastor. You're the lead worshiper in our church, in our churches. And I'm,
boy, of course, we ought to be faithful. Leader, we ought to be faithful.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love it when pastors are on the front and they're singing, you know, and they're worshiping and they're just engaged. But, you know, I think in heaven, there's going to be one central focus, and that's Jesus Christ, you know, and that's, I really think that's, some of these other things are so secondary.
Sometimes we have strange questions that pop into our mind.
Sure.
And we try to chase those as much as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Will there be accents in heaven?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. I believe when the Bible says every tribe and every tongue will be worshiping around, I think there will be differences in our accents, in our languages. And I've got to be a part of a little bit of that, like we talked about going to Belize.
Yeah.
When we would lead a song and some would be singing it in English, some in Spanish, and even in the DR, there's a Creole language that a lot
Haitian
of the Haitians,
Creole.
Right, and they're singing in their language, and all of that going on at the same time is just a hint of what heaven will be like.
Yes.
You know?
So even if everybody has perfect pitch, let's just imagine everybody retains some of their vocal distinctions.
Yeah.
Like my voice sounds different than Marty's and Marty sounds different than yours. And then we have accents and maybe even different languages up there. It is still going to be a harmony of different voices with perfect pitch.
Yeah.
How incredible. How
that's going to be awesome.
All right. So let me ask you guys this. We discussed this as a staff. Our secretary, Susan McNulty, brought this up. When we get to heaven, will we remember our earthly theories of heaven, or will that have been forgotten? Like, I hope that when we get to heaven, we're able to have some recollection of what we're talking about right now and then say, oh, we were way off base, or buddy, we nailed that one. And so what do y'all think? Will we have these theoretical memories?
I think so.
I think so too.
You think so?
I think
here you go, Susan. There's the answer to your question right there. Yeah.
And like you said, I think we'll be like, wow, was I way off? You know?
Yes.
Did I so undercut what this was going to be?
I think we're going to be so overwhelmed that maybe we missed a boat, even in the best of our theories at how grand, glorious, you know, all the things about heaven and God.
All right, Marty, I got a question for you. If you could teach the younger generation something, about standing up and leading people, what would that one thing be? It can be anything. It could be their presence. It could be their philosophy. It could be their theology. You just got, it's wide open.
Right. In fact, one thing that I think they really need to learn.
They really need to focus on.
I think if I could tell them to really focus on one thing, it's learn the heart of your people, for one thing. Like some styles of worship, while it may be what's on the radio, you're not going to get the people to engage in worship if you don't sing something that they can worship to. And I know that sounds like you're giving in to pressures of what a church wants, but there's a difference. You have to go in, and especially if you're called into a church to serve, don't go in and just try to overnight change who that church is. Because this church has been there long before I got there. And they are who they are because of years and centuries sometimes of God growing them and things happening. Learn the voice of your congregation. Then as you learn the voice of the congregation, then teach them your voice. Teach them what God is drawing you to. You know, I see so many times where people are like, my folks just won't sing. And I'm like, well, because you're singing songs they don't know. You know, teach them, first of all, take it slow. You know, don't go in and just try to do the top 40 worship songs just because that's what's cool. Go in and examine a song's lyrics. Examine what a song is saying. Think about, is this song going to be here 10 years from now?
That's a great question.
If
I don't think a song will be here in 10 years, I'm not going to sing it in worship.
You're not going to take the time to teach it to the people.
I'm not going to sing it in worship. If I don't think a song, you know, the first time I heard, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, 10,000 reasons." The first time I heard that song, I'm like, that song is here to stay, you know,
and it has.
We learned, you know, but there are very few songs sometimes that are like that. Now we'll do some songs, but until CCLI Christian Radio came along, the worship of the church, what we sang was filtered through a hymn book. There was a board of directors that went through and said, this hymn, it's theologically correct, the music is good. It passed the muster in this hymn book, you know. And so that's where we got our filter from. But now, of course, I don't know about you guys, but we very seldom pick up a hymn book in church anymore.
Right. Everything's on the screen.
Yeah. Now, the songs may come from the hymn book, but many of the songs don't. And so because of that, we have no filter. And as the worship leader, you are now the filter of what your church is singing. And I've had church members come up to me and say, hey, can we sing this in worship? And I'm like, let me listen to it some. And I'm like, no, we're not going to do that in worship. It's not necessarily that it's blasphemous, you know, but maybe it's just not saying things in the correct way, you know?
Yeah. Man, I completely understand. Marty, you mentioned hymn books. Do you have a favorite hymn song?
Man, I love, there's so many. I love It Is Well With My Soul. It is one that if I'm going to sit down at the piano sometimes, maybe that's one of the first songs I like to play is It Is Well With My Soul. I love that. Love the story behind how it was written. Mm-hmm. At Calvary, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Great words.
What about you, David? What's your favorite hymn?
Okay, so I do, man, I like both of those.
I've got one favorite. I do.
What's your favorite?
Come Thou Fount.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Isn't that good?
I love it.
All right, so for a modern worship song, so the Revelation song, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
You remember Trinity Baptist Church, Lee Brown. You know Lee Brown?
Yeah, lovely.
Lee's guitar part on Revelation song was so good. Yeah. I loved it. So we sing, I will occasionally hear Revelation song, and if Lee's not on stage playing, I'm like, man, this could be so much better. Lee was so gifted, and I love being around Lee and being his pastor. Yeah, so those are good. Marty, do you have like a funny worship leader moment?
Man, I almost hesitate to tell this in public, but I'm going to tell it anyway.
It's just us. It's just me and Thomas. It's just us. Ain't nobody listening, man.
I'm going to have to tell this on my son, Hayden, who is now 20, of course. But Hayden, he's so funny anyway. He's a lot like his dad, where he likes to be a little practical jokester sometimes, and he's witty. He can think quickly on his feet. And this was an instance when he really thought quickly on his feet when he was sitting down, but he thought quickly on his feet. he was about 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old, and we were at Trinity.
Yeah.
And Chad Grayson had come to preach a revival. He was a pastor at First Baptist Tupelo at the time. And we had a packed house that night. And so we were sitting on the front row. I always usually sit on the front row. And so my whole family was up there. And it was so crowded that Hayden had to sit in my lap. And so he's sitting in my lap. And as Chad's preaching, you know, and Chad's this, he's this hyped up, you know, he gets into it, he's preaching and he's loud, you know. And so Hayden, I notice he starts shifting around a little bit while he's sitting in my lap. And I'm like, why is he shifting? Well, about that time, he just rips one. I mean, and it just happens to be at the exact moment when Chad pauses for a moment. So it's complete silence. So
echoing through the corridors.
And so it scares Hayden to death. So he kind of looks up, and being the quick thinker that he was and still is, he looked back at me and he says, "Dad." And so at that moment, I just shake my head, you know, and I'm like, "You got me."
But you will pay. You will pay.
It's never going to happen again, buddy.
Oh, man.
All right. Hey, I've got a question. So when it comes to worship leader and song leader, do you think there's a difference?
Absolutely.
There?
Absolutely.
You kind of alluded to that earlier.
Right. With the difference between a song and a song of worship. You right. know, it's still a song. But what's the purpose? It's just like saying you get up. Why does George Strait, who is my favorite all-time country music singer, I mean, he is the greatest country singer of all time. George Strait. Love to listen to him sing. But when he gets up to sing and people sing along with him, because they do. If you go to a George Strait concert, the whole crowd is singing, you know. He's leading a song. He's a song leader at that time. But the purpose for why he's doing it is completely different from the purpose of why I stand up on Sunday morning and I sing a song and I invite people to sing along with me. We're leading a song, but we're not just leading a song. We're directing what we're saying. And I think that's the purpose of a worship leader is you're encouraging the singing of song, but then you're directing where that's going. You're not just directing a crowd of singers. You're directing the direction of the song and the lyrics, and you're directing it toward the throne of heaven, toward the Savior of all mankind, toward Jesus Christ. And so I think that's the difference between a song leader and a worship leader. Is it's similar to what we talked about with the song and the worship song.
One of the things that you've done that I've heard you do in the past, one of the things that's always kind of drawn me to Slater Murphy.
Yeah.
When Slater Murphy, especially when he was on television.
Yeah, with Fairview Baptist.
Fairview Columbus. Baptist. He would get up and he would read scripture and then he would say whatever song it was. Hey, y'all think about this and then sing the song.
Yeah.
And he would lead the congregation and sing. Marty does something very similar to that in Marty's own style. But then there are people at the church who are, our first hymn today is 367.
Mm-hmm.
Our second hymn today is 492. We're going to sing first, second, and third.
Right, right.
First, second, last.
Sure.
Yeah, you can't ever sing third verse.
Yeah. they're theologically incorrect.
Apparently so. Yeah.
And then they'll do that for like three songs, and then it's time for the preacher. Do you see a difference in those two?
Absolutely. And not to belittle what they're doing, because if that's all they know, and they're still making an effort, and they're still directing the songs toward the one who's worthy of the songs, then you know, it's like Jesus said, if they're not against us, they're for us. You know, we're all fighting the same battle. We're all on the same team. But I just think, and there's an extreme. There are some worship leaders that get up and I'm like, are they ever going to sing and stop talking? You know,
Lord save us from singing preachers and preaching singers.
there's a preacher that's going to come and share the word of God. You know, you're sharing the word of God through music, and so I do talk and I do set a song up or maybe, like you said, relate it to the scripture that it's written from. But I think there's also a fine balance between introducing a song and preaching a sermon about a song.
Yeah.
Marty, you just mentioned George Strait. Let me tell you a couple of my favorite George Strait songs. I'm going to ask, what's your favorite George Strait song? So one of my favorites is Amarillo by Morning. I love Amarillo by Morning. And the other one that I love is Troubadour. I love Troubadour. Came in as a young guy, going to leave out as an old guy. Yeah. I think it's so similar to ministry. He wrote in on a song.
Yeah.
There are some guys who write in on a song or write in on a sermon. And then the next thing you know, decades have passed and you're still faithful in singing. You're still faithful in preaching.
Yeah.
What's your favorite George Strait song?
Man, I love both those two. And it's cool because Troubadour is one of the last ones that he's done, you know, and like he is an old cowboy riding out now. Yeah. But I love, one of my favorites is not a real famous one that people would think about, but it's a song called The Chair.
I'm
a
favorite
of The Chair. Well, excuse me, but I think you've gotten my chair. And then at the end, he's like, that wasn't my chair after all. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Because I love Write This Down,
man. Check Yes or No.
Yeah, Yes. Just so many. Man, so many good songs.
George Strait. So whenever I think of George Strait, I think of a pastor friend of ours. David Hamilton looks so much like George Strait to me. And I always equate David Hamilton and George Strait together.
Put a black hat on him, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Majors, you ever listen to George Strait? Any other songs?
I do like George Strait. Troubadour. Amarillo by Morning.
Yeah. Those are good ones. So thank you so much for joining us this week on the Ministry Marks podcast.